Today's shir is Masechet Bava Kama Daf Nun Aleph, and we will begin on Daf Nun Amud Beis, 8 lines from the bottom. Tanan, we learned in the Mishnah, Ha'ibchus Masar Tfachim, if the bar was less than 10 Tfachim deep, V'nafla Teich Hasharu Chamar V'mes, and an animal fell into it and died, Potter. He's Potter. Because as we learned, if the bar isn't 10 Tfachim deep, it's not a situation for which there is a Chiv. However, if the animal got injured, chayiv, then he would be chayiv. And just to review, before we go further in the shir, in our previous shir we learned the machloikis of Rav and Shmuel, what is the reason that there is a liability by a bar. Rav said lahavloi, because the bar creates foul, stagnant air, and the animal that falls into it is adversely affected by it, and that's why there's a chiyuv by bar. Shmuel learned it's lahavloi ulechaftoi, that the reason is because there's both bad air and also the impact of falling into the bar is a factor. Says the Gemara, Nafal atoich hasharu chamar. We just quoted the Mishnah that said if an animal fell into the bar or mace and died, potter, my tama. Obviously, because it has no chavata, there is no impact when it's not that deep, but there is still hevel. So as Rashi learns, the Gemara's question is posed both to Rav and Shmuel. The Rav and Shmuel both agree that hevel is a factor, and the Gemara is assuming that even a bar that's less than 10 tefachim deep, even though it doesn't have chavata, it still has hevel. So what does our Mishnah say? That if an animal fell into that bar, it would be potter. That's how Rashi learns the Gemara. The Rashba explains that the Gemara's question is posed strictly to Rav. And the Gemara's question is that the Gemara is assuming that when the bar is not 10 tefachim deep, just like there is no hevel for misa, there is no hevel at all. And therefore, the Gemara's question is, why does our Mishnah say that if an animal fell into a bar that's less than 10 tefachim deep, he's not chayiv, the owner of the bar is not chayiv, the animal died, but the owner of the bar is chayiv, the animal got injured, there is no hevel. So according to Rav, he should be entirely potter. Answers the Gemara, loy. The way to understand it is, Mishum de Lespe Havla. And again, we're going to learn the Gemara like Rashi explains it, that the Gemara assumed that there is always hevel in a bar, so why by a bar than less than 10 tefachim? Is he potter? Answers the Gemara, no, there is no hevel by less than 10 tefachim. Ihochi, ask the Gemara, if there is no hevel by less than 10 tefachim, why is the halacha emhuzik by chayiv, that if the animal got injured, he's chayiv? We just said that there is no hevel, halas by havlo. Answers the Gemara, Amri, that there ain't hevel lamisa, v'yesh hevel lamizakim. There may not be that much hevel that it could cause death, but there is enough hevel to cause injury, and that's why when it's less than 10 tefachim deep, he'll be chayiv for nizakim, and not for Misa. Says the Gemara, who tore the Nafal Arisa de Loi? There was an axe that fell into a ditch, an irrigation ditch, and the irrigation ditches were 6 tefachim deep. Before we go further, the Gemara Masechta Chulin discusses the status of an animal that is Nefula, that falls from a height. And the Gemara says that we have to be concerned that the animal becomes treif because it has risuk avarim, its internal organs are affected, are perhaps broken, and therefore the animal becomes treif. So he, and the halacha is with such an animal that we have to wait 24 hours to see if the animal survives. The Rishonim also say that besides waiting the 24 hours to see if the animal survives, we have to do a set of examinations after the shechita of the animal. So says the Gemara, who taro the nafla the risk of the loy? There was an animal that fell into the six tfachim deep irrigation dip, and shachte mare, and his owner shechted it immediately. Tafra Rav Nachman, Rav Nachman said that the animal is treif, because there was a concern because of the fall that it became treif. Amr Rav Nachman, and Rav Nachman commented, Ishokal mare the high turakab the kamcham, if the owner of this axe would have taken a kava flower, v'ozol tanabe medrasha, im shasim eisleis kshera, if he would have had the patience and would have had the right mind to go to yeshiva and learn, and in yeshiva he would have learned that if you wait 24 hours the animal is kosher, he would not have put at risk this animal that was worth a lot of money, because by shechting it, it becomes treif. Alma, Kesav Rav Nachman. Obviously, Rav Nachman, based on this Gemara, holds Yesh Chavata b'pachas me'asara. There is obviously Chavata by less than 10 tefachim, because otherwise, why would he be concerned? The irrigation ditch was only 6 tefachim deep. Eisvei Rav Rav Nachman asks Rav to Rav Nachman. It says in our Mishnah, Hay p'chus me'asara tefachim. If the bar was less than 10 tefachim deep, the nafla toicha shara chamor umeis, an animal falls into it, potter. My tama, what is the reason? La mishum de elas by chavata. The Gemara is assuming that by a bar that less than 10 tefachim deep, there is no chavata, and the only reason that there is no chavata, and therefore the only reason is you potter, because there is no hevel. But here, our Gemara, because there is hevel and there is no chavata, our Gemara seems to be learning that. But here we see Rav Nachman is concerned for chavata even by 6 tefachim. Says the Gemara, loy mishum the less be havala. The way to understand the Mishnah is as follows: hevel there isn't by less than 10 tefachim. Chavata, however, does exist by less than 10 tefachim, and our explanation of the Gemara, at least at this point, has Rav Nachman following the opinion of Rav that we found that the fact that the counts is hevel. Ask the Gemara, if we're saying that there is no hevel by less than 10 tefachim, and that's why if the animal died in a pit that's less than 10 tefachim deep, we're not chayiv. Why is dalochi hachi chuzuk b'chayiv? Why, if the animal got injured, is he chayiv? Unless by havala, we just said there is no hevel when the bar is less than 10 tefachim deep. Answers the Gemara, omloi ein hevel l'misa, yesh hevel nazakim. There is not enough hevel to cause misa, but there is enough hevel to cause a hezek. Ask the crazy placey. What is the Gemara's comparison between the din of treifa and the din of nezikin? By treifa, we're not saying for sure the animal is treif. We're concerned that the animal is treif because of this chavata. And therefore, because we're concerned, we have to be machmer and not allow and consider the animal not kosher. However, by nezikin, there's halacha of hamotzi mechaveroi all of haraya. And therefore, if we can't be sure that it died because of the chavata, that's why we can't force the owner of the bar to pay. So there are two answers that I saw. One answer that I saw is that our Mishnah, our Gemara, is not following the opinion of Amoitz Mechaver al Varaya. Because the beginning of our Perek, we already learned. The first Mishnah of our Perek says that it follows the opinion of Sumchis, a moment on multiple suffer chalkim. So Moitz Mechaver Olav Araya is not a concept that we're following in our Mishnayos. Another teretz that the Shaul Meishiv says, a very interesting teretz. He says, when do we say the concept of, he says, there are really two conflicting concepts. There's a concept of Moitz Mechaver Olav Araya, and there's a concept of Sofik Nezik El Chumra. So how do we reconcile those conflicting concepts? He says, when we don't know if a hezek occurred or not, we apply the concept of a moitz mechaver olav araya. But when we know for sure something happened, the only question is, was it the mazik's fault or not, there we say safek nazik in l'chumra. Here for sure the animal got hurt or died, and we ought to apply the concept of safek nazik in l'chumra if we're going to say that it's considered chavata regarding treifa. Eisvei, ask the Gemara. The Mishnah says in Masechta Sanhedrin regarding how, if somebody chas v'shalom was mechuyev skila, how was the skila administered? Says the Mishnah, base of skila you gevoy shtei koimus. The base of skila was the height of two koimus. Two koimus is six amos. Two heights of a person. A person is typically three amos. But tani ala, and the Braisa continues in explaining that Mishnah, the koimus law, and then we add the height of the person who's going to be killed, harei kan shalosh. So we have a total of nine amos. Ask the Gemara, v'sakadatich yesh chavota v'pachas ma'asara. If we're going to say that there's chavota even by less than 10 tfachim, lomali kula hai, why do we have to construct the base of skila so high? So Mepharshim ask, over there we want the person for sure to die, so that's why we have to make it that high. Here it's only a question of suffolk treifa, but there we want him for sure to die. So some, because of this question, the Prima Gadim says, because of this question, we have to say that it's not a situation of a suffolk treifa. We have to say that if the animal falls into the ditch that's six tefachim deep, it's a vadei treifa. But it's not posh pshan in the Gemara. So the Achronim give a different teretz. A different teretz to this kasha. The Achronim explain that there too, it's not certain that the person will die. Because the Gemara there, Masechta Sanhedrin, discusses that if the person doesn't die, what has to be done? So we see that the death is not certain. So we see that we don't necessarily make it that high that for sure he's going to die. So why over here, why do we have to make it that high? The Yerushalmi gives a different answer. The Yerushalmi answers, there's a difference between when a person or an animal knows it's going to fall, between where it doesn't know it's going to fall. When it knows it's going to fall, it has to have a higher elevation than when it doesn't know. So by the base of skila, that he knows he's going to be thrown down, we need a higher elevation than the animal that fell into the ditch. The Mepharshim explain that the Bavli doesn't offer the same teretz as the Yerushalmi, because they say that when would we make this difference? That's when the person who knows he's going to fall has what to hold on to prevent the fall. Here, he's not holding on. The Bezdin is administering the Mises Bezdin, and therefore, there's no difference between an accidental fall or a deliberate fall. The Rishonim also point out that how could the Gemara attempt to ask a question between a person and an animal? We know, we've learned this concept ourselves, that a person has mazel, and an animal has no mazel. So how do we compare an animal to a person? So the Mepharshim answer, that when do we say there's mazel to a person? As we explained, every person has a malach who watches him. Animals don't have that. But this person is being taken to Mises Bezdin. Obviously, his mazel has run out, and therefore there's no difference between a person and an animal. Ask the Gemara, Tameich, even if you're going to follow your line of reasoning, why Navet Sara? Certainly everybody agrees that a pit that's 10 tefachim deep could kill. So why do you have to make it more than 10 tefachim? Ella, the reason we make the base of skila that high is Krev Nachman. Dar Rav Nachman, Amar Rabavua, Amar Kro, the Pasuk says, V'haftal Reach, Kamaicha, B'ra Olay Misiyofa. And that's why we want him to die as quickly as possible, and that's why we make it that high. Ask the Gemara, Ihochi Nagvitfei. So then we should make it even taller than that. And says the Gemara, that would be Rishum the Nevel. If it would be so tall and the person fell from such a height, he would perhaps completely break apart, which would be very grotesque, and that's why Chazal didn't want it to be too high. The Rishayim discuss that here we see that we're applying the concept, the pasuk of a haftal racha kamaicha to this person who's being killed. So ask the Rishonim, shouldn't we apply it better to a person who's alive, not to a person who's dead? So the Rishonim give two answers. One answer is that although the pasuk says v'ahavta l'reacha kamaicha, we know that chayecha kaidmin, person's life comes before anyone else's. So it doesn't seem that we should be applying the concept of v'ahavta l'reacha kamaicha to somebody who's dead. It makes more sense to apply it to someone who's alive. That's one teretz that I saw. Another teretz that the Rishonim offer is that the pasuk that speaks about v'ahavta l'reacha kamaicha begins with the words loisika and loisitar, which refers possibly to someone who's being killed. So we see v'ahavta l'reacha kamaicha even applies when somebody is dead. The question is, here we're dealing with a rasha. Do we have a din of v'ahavta l'reacha kamaicha by a rasha? So some say the wording of the pasuk itself implies that you have to love a rasha, because the pasuk uses the word v'ahavta l'reacha. Reacha has in it the word ra. Even if somebody's chas v'shalom ra, he's a rasha, still does a din of v'ahavta l'reacha kamaicha. And as the mefarshim paiskim go on to explain, even though the halacha is that one may hate someone who does averus and he's not prepared to listen to Musar and not prepared to do what's right, that is only in a situation where the person is alive and we're trying to give him Teichacha and refuses to accept the Teichacha, so there's a heter to hate him. Here, the person no longer can accept the Teichacha. He's being killed. Here the halacha is that even though he's a Rasha, the din is v'ahavta l'reacha kamaicha. Eisvei asked the Gemara. The Torah teaches us that one has to build a makkah, a fence around his roof, because the concern is, ki'ipal anayfam emenu. We're concerned that someone will fall off from the roof. So it says the Gemara, the Brisa says, mimenu, v'loy b'toicha. And we're only worried about somebody falling off from the roof onto the ground, but not from the ground to the roof. What does that mean? Kate said, "Hoytzer Rishus Rabbim Gavoy Memenas Sar Tfachim." If the Rishus Rabbim was higher than one's home by 10 Tfachim, the Nafam Mataycha LaTaycha, and there's a concern that somebody could fall from the Rishus Rabbim into the home, Potter, the person owning the home, doesn't have to make a Makkah. Machloikis, what does that mean that the person doesn't have to make a Makkah? The Sma says that the person and the Bnei Rishus HaRabim don't have to make a Makkah. Doruch HaShulchan, Dvar Avram, disagree. And they say what the Gemara means here is that the person in the home doesn't have to make a Makkah. The people in the Rishus HaRabim certainly have to make a Makkah, because they explain that just like if there was a bor Rishus HaRabim, the Rabim, the Tzibur, has to make a fence around the bor, here too they would have to make a Makkah. Chazanish has an interesting explanation. Chazanish says like this: if in this case there is no reason to make a Makkah, because since somebody walking from Rishus HaRabim sees ahead of him and sees that there's an incline here that he could chas v'shalom fall from, that is enough of a prevention to avoid making a Makkah. However, in a case where there's a concern, where there is a concern that somebody from the Rishus HaRabim can get hurt, a Makkah has to be made by the Bnei Rishus HaRabim. Continues the Braisa, Amukah b'menet Sar Tfachim, if the home is lower than the Rishus HaRabim, if the Rishus HaRabim is lower than the home by 10 Tfachim, v'noifal l'toicha l'toicha, and there's a concern that somebody could fall from the house into the Rishus HaRabim, then the Halach is Chayiv. A Makkah has to be made. Ask the Gemara, v'salka daitach, yesh chavot v'pachs me'asara, if we're saying that the chavot is possible, even when it's less than 10 tfachim, lama li asara, what does a makkah have to be made, only when the house is 10 tfachim high? Amalei, so he responded, shani bayis, the kol v'pachs me'asara la bayisu, if the house isn't 10 tfachim tall, it's not considered a house. Ask the Chazanish, so what's the difference if it is or isn't a house? Answers the Chazanish. The Torah says, Chazanish goes on to explain, ask, doesn't the Torah say, loisosim domim beisecha, we have to be careful not to cause a dangerous situation? Answers the Chazanish. The truth of the matter is, he says, that l'sosim damim meisecha is only when there's a certain sakonis nefashis. As we had in the previous Gemaras, a kelav ra, a sulam ru'ua. A roof is not a definite danger. However, the Torah says that a makkah has to be made even though it's not a definite danger, because only by a definite danger is there a din of l'sosim damim meisecha. So now we have this chiddush that the Torah says that a makkah has to be made. The Torah says that only when was this chiddush said? By a bias, nowhere else. Ask the Gemara, Ihochi, if you have to have a bias, hashtanami to have mabroya soro, if you're going to have a house that's 10 tefachim tall, dominate tikkur meziva, if you take off the area of the roof and the beams, megavoy lahava soro, you won't have a home that's 10 tefachim indoors. And we're saying now, especially as we explain with the Chazon Ish, that it has to be a bias. Omele, you're going to chok megavoy. He made a hole, he dug inside the house, so even though outside it's exactly 10 tefachim tall, inside it's still also 10 tefachim. Ask the Gemara, if that's the definition of a bias, even if you don't have 10 tefachim outside, you still could have mishkach sloy, that you could have 10 tefachim indoors, if you dug inside the house more, and you'll have indoors a height of 10 tefachim, says the Gemara, Alahayna Tam de Rav Nachman. The Gemara retracts in its explanation of Rav Nachman. And as the Rishonim explain, until now the Gemara was explaining that Rav Nachman concurs with the opinion of Rav, that Hevel is the crucial factor. Now the Gemara says Rav Nachman concurs with the opinion of Shmuel, that the factor is Chavata, sover, however he holds, mekreis the turul ara kamahava. How much space is there between the stomach of the animal and the ground? Arba, and arisa the deloy. How deep was that irrigation dip? Also shita six. So asara, seshtakech tikikam chavit. So when that animal that we spoke about that fell into the ditch fell, masara the mechavit. So that's why Rav Nachman actually agrees that ain chavata bepachs mi asara. Here, there was 10. Ask the Gemara, if we're saying that that's how we measure by an animal, elmas nisniktani, ma bo shukadei lahom sasar tfachim, that a boar has to have 10 tfachim to kill, af kol shesh bekdei lahom sasar tfachim, a boar is only a boar when it's 10 tfachim deep, according to what we're explaining now, b'shita namisagya, take the 4 from the space under the animal to the floor, and the 6th depth of the boar, amri, and so the Gemara masnisin the ingdel bar. Our Mishnah is referring to a situation where the animal rolled, so we can't take into consideration the space between the stomach and the floor. So what will be the halacha? Ask the Rishonim. If we have an animal standing, some Rishonim in fact say that the Rabbeinu Ephraim says that indeed then the halacha will be all you need is a 6th tefachim deep bar, because you'll have a total of 10 tefachim. The Rashba, however, disagrees. And the Rashba says that Al Gemara, when an animal rolls, you have to have a bar 10 tefachim deep. It's come to teach us that in all situations, only a bar that's 10 tefachim deep is considered a bar, and something else is not considered a bar. Continues the Mishnah. Bar Shashlei Shutfim, if we have a bar owned by 2 partners, Avalav Arishav Lekuso, and the first person passed by and did not cover the bar, Vasheni Velekuso, and he left the second, his partner, working with it, and he didn't cover it, the loch is Hasheni Chayiv, that the second person is responsible for any damage that happens here. And I saw a very interesting psak from Chaim Kanyevsky based on this Mishnah. He says, what will be the halacha? The halacha, he says, is that if somebody removes a sefer in a base, a medrash in a base of Knesset, he has to put it back. He says, let's say I take out a sefer, but I give it to someone else to use after I finish using it. Since he now took over the use of the sefer, says Reb Chaim Kanyevsky, based on our Mishnah, the second person is the one that has to put it back. Amri. So ask the Gemara. we speak about a bar shel shnei shutfim. Ask the Gemara, bar shel shnei shutfim hechi mishkachsla. How is it possible to have a bar that's owned by partners? Hanich Yisrael and Rabbi Akiva, if we'll follow the opinion that we learned from Rabbi Akiva yesterday, don't have a bar b'rishus chayiv, that a bar in one's rishus is considered a bar mishkachsla. We could figure out such a situation. It'll be b'chatzar shel shneim, a bar shel shneim, a chatzar and a bar that were owned by partners, v'kir rishus of v'leif kir barin, and then these two partners were mafka their rishus and not their bar, and we'll have a bar b'rishus rabin. We'll have a bar that's owned by partners. Ellis sfirlam bar b'rishus a potter. If we're going to say that a bar b'rishus is always potter, as we explained yesterday, because the mazik always say to the nizik, I wasn't mafka, this is Rashi's opinion, I wasn't mafka the bar in order to become responsible, I wasn't mafka the rishus in order to become responsible for the bar. Or, as Taisa says, you couldn't have gotten to here without walking through rishus ayachid, and therefore I'm not responsible. Hech mishkach sol dechaivlo, how do we have a bar that's owned by partners? Rishus a rabbin. However, asked the Gemara, Rishus Rabim, Bar Shnei Shnei Shvutim, Hech Mishkachlo, how could you have a bar owned by Shutfim and Rishus Rabim? We can't have partners in Rishus Rabim. So you'll suggest, says the Gemara, Either Shav Shliach Tavayu, they both appointed a Shliach, Vamalei Zil Karilon, go dig a bar on our behalf, Vaza Karilu, and he goes and digs the bar on their behalf. Asked the Gemara, they would not be Chayiv, the Shliach would be Chayiv. Because we have halacha of ein shliach the dvar aveira, as we've learned many times, divrei rav the divrei talmud divrei mishaimim, and the shliach should not have made the bar. So there are a number of interesting concepts that are extrapolated from this gemara on the concept of ein shliach the dvar aveira. The Farshim first discuss what exactly is the aveira in question of making a bar in the Rishus Rabin. The Mishnah Lamelech says it's only in Issa Rabbonon of being Mekalka Rishus Rabim. The Miches Chinuch, however, says it's in Issa Raisa of Lysosim Domim. The Meshech Chochma says it's in Issa of Lifnei Eva Lysite Michshol. Rabbi Chanan Vassaman says it's Yasser because Vahaftal Reacha Kamaicha. Point out the Mefarshim that according to the opinion of Mishnah Lamelech, that's only in Issa D'Rabbanan. From here we see that we apply the concept of Ein Shliach L'Dvar Aveira even by an Issa D'Rabbanan. Another point that's made is why can't the Gemara say that the Shliach was a Shagig and he didn't know that you're not allowed to make the bar? From here we see, say many Paiskim, that the concept of Ein Shliach L'Dvar Aveira even applies when the Shliach is a shaykh. Neither Behuda disagrees, because neither Behuda says that since we're speaking here about Nezikin, and we have the concept that we've learned so many times of Adam Mu'ud La'ilam, so you can't apply the concept of shaykh regarding Nezikin. The Mefarsh also asks, why can't we say that's referring to a case that he appointed a guy to dig the pit for him? So the Mefarshim say, if we follow the concept of Ein Shlichus La'akum, so the Akum is not considered a Shliach. And if we follow the concept that Yesh Shlichus La'akum, then if we say that a Goy can be a Shliach, we also will say by a Goy, Divrei Ein Shliach L'Dvar Aveira. But then the Rishonim ask, the Mefarshim ask, isn't there a concept of Yad Poyel Ki Yad Rabbi, that a worker is considered an extension of his employer? So if the person who dug the pit is a employee of the person who told him to dig it, why should we not say Yad Poyel Ki Yad Rabbi? So as far as we say, we don't say the concept of Yad Poyel Ki Yad Rabbi when the person himself who's doing, when it's referring to Nezikin. Since the goy is not allowed to do nezikin, as we just explained, we don't apply the concept of yad poyel ki yad rabbi. From here, we see an interesting shaila. I saw a shaila in Etz Yisrael. Somebody had was washing the floor, and they have a porch, and the housekeeper was throwing the water, was washing the water from the porch onto the sidewalk, and somebody walking in the sidewalk got hurt. What would be the halacha? So the Paiskim say as follows. If the owner of the apartment told the housekeeper to wash the floor that way, and she wasn't, and the housekeeper wasn't aware that by washing the floor that way the water will fall into Rishus Rabim, then the housekeeper will be, the person who gave the orders will be responsible. However, if the housekeeper is aware that this water falls onto Rishus Rabim, so as we're learning now, there's a concept of Ein Shliach L'Dvar Aveira, and she would be held responsible. If, however, she did it, and she doesn't know that it's going to Rishus Rabim, but she didn't do it because her boss told her to do it, then the halacha would be that the housekeeper is responsible. From this, from the concepts that we spoke about, I saw interesting tshuva from the Chalkas Yaakov. Let's say somebody is summoned to court to appear on Shabbos on Yontif, and he obviously is not allowed to go. Is he allowed to appoint a non-Jewish lawyer to represent him? Says the Chalkas Yaakov that of course he's allowed to. Because even if we'll follow the concept that we spoke about a minute ago, Yesh Shlichus La'akum, and then we'll say that if Yesh Shlichus La'akum, there's also a concept of Yesh Shliach L'Dvar Aveira, says the Chalkas Yaakov, that's only if the guy himself is doing an Aveira. But since there is obviously no obligation for a guy to be Shomer Shabbos, he actually is not allowed to be Shomer Shabbos, so he is not doing anything wrong, and he may represent a Jew in court on Shabbos. The Farshim used the concepts that we just learned to answer a question. We find that Paroi told the Meyaldois HaIvriyois to kill the Jewish children, and they refused to listen. The question is, why did he ask Jewish Meyaldois? He should have taken Mitzriyois. They certainly would have followed his orders. And furthermore, if these Meyaldois HaIvriyois refused to listen, he should have taken different Meyaldois HaIvriyois who would have perhaps listened. Says the Paradis Yosef, if Paroi would have taken non-Jewish Meyaldois, non-Jewish midwives, we don't have the concept of Ein Shlich L'Dvar Aveira when one guy appoints another guy. And then Paroi would have been held responsible for what happened here. So he took Jewish women, where we have the concept that we just learned, of Ein Shlich L'Dvar Aveira. But if Paroi would have then gone and killed those Meyaldois who refused to do what he said, and chosen other Meyaldois Ivriois, even if they would have listened to what he said, it would have been obvious that they're doing it because they're afraid to get killed like their predecessors got killed. And the Aveira would have been attributed to Paroi. Therefore, Paroi, who was scared for himself, had no other option but to be left with those original Meyaldois that he chose. V, says the Gemara, the Kara Haichamisha, the Haichamisha, if we'll say that one person dug a pit of five tfachim and another person dug a pit of five tfachim, Nistakul or Maserishin, the first one's act is completely not here anymore. So the Gemara says, Hanichal Rebbe Lezokim, it will follow the opinion of Rebbe regarding the Zokin. We'll learn Rebbe's opinion in a moment, that we do combine the acts of two individuals. Mishkachasla. That's by Nezokin. El Rebbe Lamisa. That means according to Rebbe, if one person digs nine tefachim, and the next person digs a tenth tefach, he is chayiv if somebody dies there. Ul Rabbanim Bein Lamisa Bein Lezokin. We always follow the second digger. How do we have a bar of two shutfim? I'm Rabbi Yochanan. The only way we can explain it is kegon she'okush neim choyv bas achas. If two people took out the tenth tefach together, Veshlim Lasara, they together created this bar. There, in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, there are other Rishonim that give different, perhaps, answers that the Gemara could have given. One answer is following the reason that we gave, according to Rashi opinion yesterday, that if somebody's mafkir Rishusai Ubayroi, he is Chayiv, so that would be the case. Another case that the Miches Chinuch is referring to a situation suggest is that we spoke about also in the previous year that somebody took out a nezek, his zevel, to Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, and then it caused damage, that we learned earlier in the Masechta that the person that takes out the zevel is chayiv. Another example against it that's given is somebody, if two people receive a bar together as a matana, the shutfis. Another answer is that they appointed a shliach to dig a bar b'shus harabim l'tzayrich harabim, but as also as we learned in the previous year that the rabbim has to take ownership of the bar, and it's a situation where the bar, where the rabbim did not yet take ownership of that bar. So we just referred, says the Gemara, to the opinion of Rebbe and Rabbonim. Ask them, my Rebbe, my Rabbonim, what is that? What is that machlok? The Tanya. Echad ha'choyf bar tisha. If somebody dug a bar that's 9 tefachim deep, or bar achav v'shlim lasar, another person digs the 10th tefach, ha'achron chayiv. The second person is chayiv. Rebbe Omer, Rebbe says, achron l'misa, we follow the last digger regarding death, he's considered the owner of the bar as far as misa. V'achashneim l'zokim, since there was already a bar when the first one dug less than 10 tefachim, he's still responsible for nezikim. My tam drabonim, d'amar kra ki yiftach v'chiyichra. So the question is, im apsicha chayiv, if somebody's chayiv for opening up the lid on top of a bar, al kriya l'koshkein, so why does the Torah have to speak about kriya and psicha? Elavi kaira acha kaira, to teach us that if somebody digs the 10th tefach after somebody else dug the first 9, shesilik ma'isrishin, and he becomes the baal habar. The gra says that that's pshat in the pasuk. If we look in the pasuk says v'chiyiftach ishbar or kiyichri ishbar. The first bar in the pasuk is written mole, beis vav reish. The second bar in the pasuk is chasa, beis reish. Why? Because the pasuk is teaching us the first one dug bar. He dug most of the bar, 9 tefachim. U'chiyichri ishbar. The other one dug only a tefach. He will be the person that's responsible. Rabbi Amalach, Rabbi says that this pasuk hanemitzos tzrichi k'damrinon. We need this pasuk for what we learned in the previous year, to why the pasuk had mentioned both the digger and the uncover. Rabbanon, nami mitzos tzrichi. Don't we need this pasuk for what we learned in the previous year? Elahayatam de Rabbanon. Amakra kiyich rishpa echad v'leishnayim. Only one person is going to be held responsible, not two. For Rebbe, Hagumi Boile, that pasuk is needed to teach us ki yichri ishbar, that only if a person creates a bar is it considered a bar, for lo shabar, not if an animal creates a bar. Rabbanon, trei ishbar ksivi, the Torah uses the word ishbar twice to teach us two different halachas, one regarding ishbar v'lo shabar, and the other to teach us kaira acha kaira. For Rebbe, Rebbe says, either the cost of high, cost of high, we don't learn anything from the second ish, because we need it, because the Torah just mentions it since it mentioned it once. Ask the Gemara, why in a case that two people dug a bar, do the Rabbanon hold that the second one is exclusively liable? Maybe the first one should be exclusively liable, says the Gemara, lo yisakel deitach. The person that made it into a bar that could kill, which is the second person. Ask the Gemara, don't we need the pasuk of Mesi Eloi to teach us what Rava taught us? If a pshar from an animal that became disqualified to be brought as a carbon, nafal a bar, the ding a bar doesn't apply. Regarding a mess that's his property, the owner of a psulei hamikdashim since it can't be used for all purposes, as the Gemara says many places, it can't be used for a disrespectful purpose, it's not Hameis Yeloi. Mechlaikus Rishayim, if this applies strictly to Shar Apsule Megdashim, or does it also become apply to Bechor that's about Mum? Amri, once we said this din, the Behuda Avid Misa Askinen, since we're speaking about a person where the animal died, so we've seen that who is the responsible person, the one that made the bar a bar that can kill. Tana Rabbanan, Echad HaChayfer Bar Asara, if somebody dug a bar that's 10 tefachim deep, or Bar Acha V'Shlima L'Srim, another one dug another 10 tefachim, or Bar Acha V'Shlima L'Shloshim, and then a third person dug it to 30 tefachim, the loch is Kulam Chayovim, they're all responsible. V'Mini asked the Gemara, we learned in a Braisa, Echad HaChayfer Bar Asara, if somebody digs a bar that's 10 tefachim deep, and somebody else comes and plasters and embellishes the walls. Now we're dealing, both of them are dealing with a bar that's 10 tefachim deep. Yet the Braisa teaches that only the second one will be chayiv, not the first one. Lema har Rebbe har Rabbanan. So we say that the Braisa, that the first Braisa reflects the opinion of Rebbe, who says that multiple people will be chayiv. And the second is the opinion of Rabbanan that always follows the second individual. Amrasvid, Hava Rabbanan. Both prices could reflect the opinion of Rabbanan. At Khan Lakam Rabbanan Akhman Chayev, when did Rabbanan say that the second one is Chayev? Alaheh Dalai Ovid Kamishemisa. Where the first one did not make a bar that's 10 tefachim deep. He only made a bar that's 9 tefachim or less deep. Ava Hekh the Ovid Kamishemisa. If the first one made a full fledged bar, a filler mud Rabbanan Mud Kulan Chayovim, then they do share in the responsibility. Ask the Gemara, but the second person, Vasai Vakayit, all the second person did was plaster and embellish it. The actual bar was only made by the first individual. Yet, Victoria Achuchayev, why does the Brisa say that the second person is also responsible? Amri answers the Gemara, Hosom Shloi Haya Hevel Misa, there was not enough Hevel Lamisa when the first one finished digging, or Ba Acher for Haisva Hev Lamisa, he reduced the area of the bar, and that is Hevel. Ikad Amri Amrazvit Hava Ha Rebbe. Both prices reflect the opinion of Rebbe. Hach the Tanik Kulan Chayov and Shaper, because Rebbe always says that everybody is responsible. The first bar did not have enough hevel for either. And this, according to Rebbe, is a regular situation when we have two people participating in making a bar, they're both responsible, according to Rebbe. Amar Rava, Hiniach Evan al Pi Bar, if someone put an Evan on top of a bar, Vishlimel Asara, and by putting that Evan on top of it, it now is 10 tefachim deep. Bonal Machloikus, Rebbe Rabbanan. That is the Machloikus of Rebbe Rabbanan. According to Rebbe, we combine both individuals. According to the Rabbanan, we only follow the second individual. And the Rishonim explained that it's referring to a case where the Evan encircles the entire perimeter of the bar. Ask the Gemara Pshita. Obviously, that's the case. There's only hevel at the bottom of the bar, avlamala. But if this extra tefach was put on the top, the lav the hevel the dekakotel, that's now where is the hevel. Emaloi, I could say that even Rebbe will agree that this second person is not chayif. Kamash malon, that we look at the entire bar, and this is the person that made the bar, and that's why he's chayif. By Reva, tom tefach. If somebody who made the 10th tefach filled in that tefach with earth, the silik avonov, or somebody added a tefach on the top of the bar, removes that tefach of stone. Mahu, mi aminin, ma da ovid shakli. Do we say that what he did, he removed? Idilma, do we say nistalka ma'aserishin? Once he made that, added that extra tefach, he is the bar habor. The Kamle Kule Brishusei. And as Taisus explains, As Rishonim explained, the Gemara's question is strictly according to the opinion of the Chachamim. According to Rebbe, there is no question that it would now be considered exclusively the bar of the first digger, says the Gemara Teiku. It's interesting how to look at this Teiku. Some say the way to understand the Teiku is the first person sends him to the second person sends him to the first person. We have a Mitz Mechaver Elav Araya, and the Nizik will not be able to collect damages. Other Paiskim, however, explain this Teiku, since the first person certainly contributed to making a bar, and the second person we're not quite sure is or isn't responsible, the halacha they say is, wherever one person is certainly somewhat chayiv, and the other person is not, we take the entire damages from the first person. Amar Rabba b'Bachana, Amar Shmuel b'Amarta. Bar Shmoina. They have a bar that's 8 tfachim deep. Umen shnei tfachim ayim. And 2 tfachim of that bar is water. Chayiv. The person who dug that bar is chayiv. My tama. And then we learned that a bar has to be 10 tefachim deep. Says the Gemara, "Kol tefach demaya ketrei diabosh adami." Every tefach is equal to 2 tefachim of dry land. So we have an 8 tefach pit with 2 tefachim of water. It's the equivalent of a 10 tefachim deep pit. Ibayluhu. And the way the Torah Chaim helps us understand the Gemara is what did Rabbi Bar Avichana mean to say? Did he mean to say specifically this case to exclude any other situation, or did he mean to use this case as a source for other examples, for other cases, which will be bar tisha umhen tefach admayim? Well, I have a bar that's 9 tefachim deep with 1 tefach of water. Mal mimi and kivin deloy nefisha maya. Since there's only 1 tefach of water, less be hevel. There's not that much hevel, and therefore it will not be considered a bar lemisa. I don't know kivin de amik tfei is by havla, and certainly it's considered a bar. Or, if we'll have a situation of bar shiva, a bar that's 7 tefachim deep, or men shlosh tefachim ayim, and you have 3 tefachim of water. Again, mahu, what will be the din? Mimri and kin nefish mayim tfei, you have so much water, 3 tefachim of water, certainly is bahavlo, and it's considered a bar. Idilma kivin de layamka, since it's not that deep, it's only 7 tefachim deep, less bahavlo can never be considered a bar, and the Gemara remains with a teiku. If somebody widened the opening of a pit, but he didn't deepen it, what is the halacha? Amalei, harei meit havla. Certainly he's potter, because he made less, that there should be less hevel than there was previously. Amalei, adarabba, harei kirv hazeka. He made that it should be easier for the animal to fall in, because it has a wider opening. And we have here machlokes rishonim, how to understand the Gemara. Some rishonim say that the Gemara's question is strictly where the animal fell in on, the Ra explains the Gemara that way, where the animal fell in on the side which wasn't widened. And there the question is who's responsible. But if the animal fell in on the side that was widened, certainly the person who widened it would be chayiv. That's the Ra's explanation of the Gemara. Tosfos doesn't seem to learn that way. Tosfos seems to learn doesn't make a difference on which side it fell. Elamar v'ashi, nachsinan. Ibi havla mais, if the animal died because of hevel, harei miyat havla, and certainly the second one is not chayif. Ibi chavata chayif, but if he died because of chavata, harei kirif chazeka, and he would be chayif. Ikadami, amar v'ashi, nachsinan. If it fell from the side, in this the academy takes into consideration what we said was the machlokes of the rishonim. If it fell from the side that it widened, harei kirev hazeka. If it fell from the other side, harei miit havla, and it'll be potter. Itma, barsh amka karachva. If a bar, we have a bar whose depth is equal to its width. Rabbi Rav Yosef Amar Tavayi, Mishmeid Rabbi Bachana, Dom Mishmeid Rav Mani, there's always going to be hevel in such a bar. There's always going to be hevel, unless the width is greater than the depth. There is never hevel, unless the depth is greater than the width. So we learned in the Mishnah, if we have a pit that's owned by Shutfim, and the first partner walked by and didn't cover it, and then the second one didn't cover it, not a second one is responsible. V'rishim emes miftar. At what point does the first one become potter? Rabbi Rav Yosef Damit Tavai Mishmeid Rabbi Bavachana Dom Mishmeid Rav Mani Chanam Mishanichim Tashmish. As soon as he leaves, when he leaves the second one using the pit, he becomes exempt. V'chanam Mishyem Sloy Dalyoy. When he gives over the cover of the, say, the pail that he's using to draw water with the pit, from the pit with, that's when he becomes exempt. So Gemara wants to suggest that this is actually a machlokes tanoim. Because the Gemara says, the Braisa says, Hamad l'mayin rabar is somebody drawing water from a pit that's owned in partnership, or bar chaveri, vamili hanachli v'aniad l'mayim, and then his partner comes and says, now let me draw water, kivin shenicha mishtamish, when the first one leaves the second one using the pit, he becomes potter for any liability. Rav Elazar ben Yaakov Omer, Mishim Slay Dalyoy, only when he gives over the cover. Says the Gemara, what is the basis of the machloikis of the Tanakama and Rav Elazar ben Yaakov? Rav Elazar ben Yaakov sova yesh breira. We have a concept of the breira, which means that, not as it usually means, retroactive designation. Rather, Rav Elazar ben Yaakov says that when the breira means that haima de komimali, each partner is drawing water from the portion of the pit that he owns. So just because I let my partner start drawing water doesn't mean that I'm not involved in the bar. So what can accomplish that I am not involved? My actual giving over the lead to my partner. Rabbanan, however, suffered and breira. And according to Rabbanan, as soon as my partner starts drawing water, what he's doing is, he's borrowing the right to use the entire bar from me, and since when he takes over the entire responsibility of the bar, when he starts drawing the water. Amravina, Vazal Tamayu, and we find this machlaikis elsewhere. The Tanan, the Mishnah says, Hashut v'shinodra noza mizeh, if two partners made a neder then now have benefit from each other, and they own a chotzer together, assume a konas lechotzer. They're not allowed to come into the same chotzer together, because we consider every inch of that chotzer owned by both parties. Rav Elazar ben Yaakov Omer, zeh nichnas l'toch shaloi, zeh nichnas l'toch shaloi. Each partner will still be allowed to walk in. Rav Elazar ben Yaakov sav yesh breira, and therefore when I walk in, even though my partner says that I'm not a benefit from him, I'm walking in only to my part, but I didn't take responsibility and I don't own the entire field. And each one of us still remains the owner of our portion. Similarly here, just because I allow the partner not to draw the water, that doesn't change the reality that I still am an owner here. And the only way I become exempt is when I actually give over the deli to my partner, giving him the entire responsibility.